So they cried. Sing, I'll heal the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. On this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Right. Thank you for the beautiful singing. We appreciate that. Hello to Wayne, Crystal, Colton, Sammy, and Melanie. Is that what we pronounce that? Wave at them. So if you brought a Bible, turn to Mark, if you will. Matthew, Luke, Mark. Okay. And we're at chapter 1. Chapter 1, and we will be at verse 21 after we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us come together in praise and worship of you, because that's the reason we come to church. We come to thank you for our salvation. We come to thank you that you can do through us which we would never be able to do on our own. And we appreciate it. We thank you for all who come and all who listen on the internet. And we pray that we help somebody this morning find you, whoever they are. Many people, as you know better than I think they're saved and they aren't. And we hope to reach them with the gospel, as we heard the prayer a while ago, saying, let those who don't have a Savior find one today. It's getting late, and we know that, and we look to see your face soon. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So we find verse 21, what this is talking about. Mark's talking about the start of Jesus' ministry. That today would be the end of his ministry, going into Easter, of course, because they would crucify him. And but his earthly ministry started, and it's fun to go back and see how it started, because what's right then is right now, and what was wrong then is the same thing's wrong now. Not much changes. Smiling faces in different places is all we got. In verse 21 said, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, that would be Saturday, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes just reading something. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Pardon me. So we find that here Jesus is going into the synagogue to preach. They used to be able to do that. anybody could go into the synagogue and they would hear you out. They may not agree with you, but they would hear you. They would listen to you. You wouldn't get very far today doing that. If you go down to the synagogue in Myrtle Beach and begin to preach the gospel, two or three people will get hold of you and show you where the exit is. They don't allow that anymore. But they used to, and Jesus knew that. He had been there since he was a boy. This isn't the first time he was in a synagogue. He was there when he was 12 years old, if you remember. And he not only astonished these people that day, but he astonished the PhDs and the priests and all of them in the synagogue, because he was a kid, 12 years old, thought he'd get in the middle of the theological discussions, and they'd never heard a thing like that. And they began to ask him questions, and he answered them. Then he asked them questions, and they couldn't answer them, and he's 12 years old. And they knew they had a special kid. They better keep an eye on him. And they did. And here now, at the start of his ministry, he goes back into the synagogue and begins to teach. And they listened to him, and they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished because he wasn't teaching the regular truth that had been given to Moses and coming through the Jews. He changed a few things and they didn't like it. But he spoke as if he had authority, and he did. Then he compares him to the scribes. The scribes used to stand up and read the scriptures. They would unroll the scripture and they would read a certain portion. And obviously they were wonderful people, but they were just reading as anybody would do. They weren't giving, as we say, a sermon. It wasn't an oration. They were just reading, and they're saying, well, this guy isn't just talking like a scribe. He talks like he knows more than they do. And listen to this doctrine he's got. This is new. We better hear him out. As we say, that wouldn't work today, would they? They would. A friend of mine, Elliot Swartz, who is obviously Jewish, you can tell by his name, Elliot. And his son, Elliot's son, got saved, and he's one of those that got a full dose. And he keeps preaching to Elliot, and Elliot doesn't want to hear it. And they are at war with each other, and always have been. And Elliot doesn't know what to do with him, because his son will be in a synagogue. He'll go to a synagogue, and they'll greet him. What's your name? Swartz. Hey, let him in, after all, you know. So there he is. But once he gets in there, he'll stand up and start preaching the gospel. And, of course, they grab him and throw him out and tackle him and don't know what to do with him. And I remember he was out at Miss B's out there eating dinner at the buffet on the highway. And Elliot was with him, and his son gets up to go to the restroom and gets about halfway there and says, just a minute. Everybody's quiet. They don't know what's going on. Just wanted to tell you, Jesus is coming soon. Well, Elliot's trying to get under the table. And but his son was right. Jesus is coming soon. And today they get on you. You can go anywhere you want to on cocaine. And you can have a body full of heroin, and you're welcome anywhere. You can go most places drunk. They won't say a thing to you. But you go somewhere and start preaching the gospel, and you'll hear about it. They will stop you in a minute, man. You can't do that here. Excuse me. I've always found out it's just as easy to ask forgiveness as it is permission. So when you need to do that sometime, do that. So we found out here he is, a young man. He's only preached 3 years. Can you imagine that one man preached 3 years? That's it. And the impact that's had on the world. I mean, you hear about world leaders and Genghis Khan and all the people through history who did mighty things. Alexander conquered the known world when he was 21, and you hear about all this, but everybody knows Jesus. I mean, and he preached 3 years. What an impact. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard him, and won't you love to when you get to? For he taught them and said, as one that had authority, I guess so is God, not as the scribes. Now, in the book of Mark, you will find 19 different miracles. Today, the liberal theologians who are in charge of your major denominations, unfortunately, they go into a study theologically with a bias that miracles cannot happen. And if you start with that, you add the game before it begins, because you're a miracle. How else? I love the evolutionists, because the scientists who believe in evolution, and even some churches agree with it. The Pope agrees with it. Of course, he agrees with a lot of things I don't agree with. And he says, and they say, there's no such thing as a miracle. You're a miracle. Evolution, I tell you who killed evolution, and sometimes we talk ugly about the women, they tell me. I don't do that, but my wife tells me. And but because of women, it's living proof there's no evolution. They say, you know, the green soup, nobody tells us where the soup came from, and the soup balled up into a little something, and it grew and had legs and started hopping around, and this developed into a man, you know. If you believe that, I got a car I want to sell you after church. And nobody mentions where the woman came from. Have you noticed that? None of the evolutionists tell us where the woman came from. Because they're not going to give the Bible version. They don't believe in the Bible. That would be a miracle. And we can't have miracles and evolution too. So they make a statement and then they defeat themselves by defining it. And they want to charge you $50,000 a semester to go hear a lie. If you're going to send your child to college, just give me the money. Bring him down here. I'll educate him. Don't send him to college. I watched Hannity last night, and I didn't watch the spring break part. Right? Somebody had to do it, you know. But can you believe that? And they didn't show the bad part, by the way. No, they just showed the cut-up part. You didn't see the bad part. You can't show the bad part, because even the FCC will get you, because that's pornography. Now, don't think just Florida has that. We got that coming down here at Atlantic Beach in about a month. Okay. And what it is, it's a small thing that starts. Just a few people went down at first 20 years ago. Same thing happened here. We used to have it here, and then somebody cut out the kids coming here. Of course, H. Lee Ray's came with them. He wanted to sell them beer. And Fat Harold, he was hot about it. Everybody wanted to make money off of them, really mad. But it was getting just like Panama City right here. I was here. I know it was. And it just starts, says, let's go have a little fun. Define fun. And when you start defining fun by the facts that happen, you're in trouble. And your kids are in trouble. And they say, well, whose fault is it? The kids? Well, they're the ones that do it. But where were you, Mom? And where were you, Dad? And I listened to them arguing, the group Mr. Hannity had on. He had different people from different walks of life. And one of them said, well, you can't tell them they can't go because they will find a way anyway. And I'm saying, not if they're tied to a chair. If I tell my son he ain't going somewhere, he ain't going. And he's a good boy. He'd choose not to go. But if he wants to live at my house and eat my food and drive my car and get along with me, he'd best do what I say. Well, you'll give him what I ain't gonna give him is permission to go. And what are you gonna do when you send your sweet little girl down there and she's 18, 19 years old and gets raped and comes home with a baby from somebody she never knew? Now what you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to have an abortion, and you're going to multiply the wrong of sending her by killing a baby. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. And you cut it out at the beginning. That's what you do. The Marines don't have any trouble with new recruits not listening to a drill sergeant. They have temporary tantrums, but they get over them real quick. I had a friend who was in, and he said, we got off the bus down at Parris Island, and there was a guy on there who was a smart aleck, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Yeah, get off that bus. Mm-hmm. So he got off the bus, and they line him up immediately. They got footprints on the cement, so you'll know where to put your feet. I mean, this is not a bright group they got. And so they line them up right there, and the sergeant said something, and this guy wises off to the drill sergeant. All right? He didn't do a thing except come over there and jerk him by the head of the hair and said they went behind the barracks. All we heard was a series of screams. We don't know what happened. But he came out the other end and had that guy's shoelaces around his neck like a leash, and the guy crawled back in line, and they didn't have any more trouble out of him. See? Well, you can't treat people like they've been doing it for years. See? Talk back to my daddy. That'll get you somewhere. See? Wasn't your daddy like that? Big as James is, you and your brother both. Never occurred to you, did it? Talk about to your daddy. That was crazy when we were growing up. Who stopped that? The psychiatrist. You're going to give him a whatever it is they give him. Jack, you were a psychiatrist before you got saved. What do they call that? A what? A complex, is that it? And they got all these complexes. And why you'll make him think this and think that and think the other. Well, as long as he don't think like you, I don't care what else he thinks. You think you came from a frog, and you think it's all right not to discipline your children, and you think it's okay if you are not the head of your house, which the Bible says you are. And that is your domain as a man, and you are in charge. I love Scott. Scott was coming along about that 12 or 13 year age, you know, when they get their final degree in knowing everything. He had just graduated into knowing everything. And I said, no, that's all right. You can do whatever you want. As a matter of fact, Scott, you can do anything you want to do. And he had a big smile. He said, I can. And I said, you certainly can, but you can't live here and do it. And the smile went away because he knew that was serious. We'll rent your bed out. But he turned out to be a wonderful Christian fellow. Set the neighbor's house on fire. Other than that, we didn't have much trouble. Just the one house. It wasn't a lot of them. And, he's a good boy, you know. So, Jesus in the synagogue, and they're astonished at his teaching. Don't know what to do. And here in what we would call church, synagogue, like church, Jewish church, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Don't think unclean spirits don't come to church. I was at a friend of mine's church in Atlanta. I was down that way and coming up on Sunday, and he's preaching, so I went to hear him, and he got into his message, and two seats behind me, a lady just starts screaming. Ah! Just scared me. I'm saying, what's going on here? And then I knew what was wrong with her. She had brought a devil with her. He was in her. And I told my friend David, I said, you want me to take care of this? He said, no, I'll get it. And him and his wife went down and talked with her. And what he had gotten into something where he said the name of Jesus about 15 times in a row. And that demon just couldn't take it anymore. He had had enough Jesus. And when he said it that last, he just started screaming. I mean, I'd never heard anything like it. It was wild. It wasn't just a basic, you know, scared scream. It was a demonic scream. And so he went down and took care of that. And I said, well, there she is. And a demon in the church. It's not the only one that's been there. It's not the only one that's been here. There are plenty of them. You can see them every now and then. We'll get to preaching pretty good along here, and all of a sudden somebody get up and leave. See? I say, well, where are they going? They got nowhere to go. I invite people to church. I used to go to Harold's and Duck's and all those places. I could boogie. I could do some dancing, right? And I was one of the top 10 in my age group. There's only 11 of us in my age group, but, you know, I was right in there. And but we had a family here. They came for a long time till they found out I danced. And they quit the church because I danced. They didn't ever see me dance. I don't know what kind of dancing they thought I did. We were shagging. We invented that stuff in the 50s, don't you know. Be jumping on us. It was an athletic event. It was, I'm going to be better than you, and you going, and that's the way you did. And that's the way we did. And we liked basketball, football, and baseball, and we got good at all that, so we got good at dancing. And we thought there wasn't anything wrong with that. And some of my good Baptist friends just turned white. Even black Baptists will turn white if you talk about dancing. I mean, you know. You can beat your wife, be drunk on Saturday, go to Hooters, but do not dance. You know, I said, man, are you out of your mind? Grow up. It's fun. It's an athletic event. We enjoy it. And they don't like to talk to me about it because I used to teach at a Christian school and I preached there. And every Christian school I ever knew had a marching band, trumpets. And here they'd play them, you know. And it was good, and the kids at Martin, it was a nice little thing they'd do. But I noticed they were dancing, marching to the music. Now, you want to explain to me what the difference is in blowing a horn and a group of you marching, boom, 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 and me going one, two, three, back, back. You want to tell me the difference? If you watch a good black crowd, a good black choir on television, and boy, there's some good ones. And you love, they call them mass choirs because there's so many of them. And they can sing. I mean, it is something. But they get excited about it. They don't just sing. But if you notice what they're doing while they're singing, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, and one, two, three. All it needs is a backpack, and they can go to Harold's. Right. And so, like my wife says, pick your wars carefully. There's going to be a lot of them. And so we try to do that. So here's a man with an unclean spirit in church. And he cried out. I mean, not many people cry out in church. And some of the churches in Protestant land do that. And I know we'd have not an amen corner, but when my daddy would preach, and it wasn't just wild, crazy tent meetings like you see in the movies. That was just where you held church like we do here. And it was done, and people listened, and they were glad to listen, and many got saved. But you would hear, especially the older ones, when he said something they really liked, and say, amen, 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 go ahead, amen. I love a preacher I know who he was new at it, and he became saved as an adult, but he became a preacher and a very good one, and they had him in a church, and it was a black church. Actually, it was a white church with black people in it. but it was a black congregation. And he had never heard this before. And he got to preaching and got on a point. And big lady on the front row stood up right there and said, "Sit down." And he didn't know what to do. And she said, "Sit down, sit down." So he sat down. And the preacher came over and got him and said, "No, no, no, no. What she means is stay on that point. Sit down right there. Tell us more about that." That's what she was saying. And I've preached in a black church or two. And if they like you, somebody'll jump up in a minute and point at you. Yeah, they'll point at you. "All right. Go ahead." I was going to go ahead, but they'll tell you, "Go ahead." And then in a minute, somebody jump up and just start circling the church. That's what they do. And they did that at Harold Seitler's church in Greenville, where I was a member many, many years. Loved Dr. Seitler. And we had a little old fellow. He'd do it every Sunday. He'd jump up, and he had a crew cut, white hair. And he'd go. He'd start. When he got to me on the front row, I'd stand up and give him a hug. And people said, "Well, why do you do that?" I said, "Because the Bible says to honor the hoary head." That's the white head. You honor the white-headed people. You honor your elders. You don't curse them. You don't correct them. You don't talk back to them. You don't talk down to them. You honor them. Now old folks are put in a home. How sad. Somebody's sick and they can't be cared for. That's one thing. But I've visited too many of those places where the people were pretty well perfectly all right. They needed to be at home where somebody loved them. Don't ever forget your mama took care of you for about 10 years when you couldn't even go to the bathroom by yourself. And when she gets feeble, don't put her away because she can't take care of herself. You take care of her for 10 years. See, that's the way you do that. We got a good friend. I love him. Bobby McGinnis used to sit right at the back there on the Amen corner in the back there. And Bobby's got dementia now. And he doesn't remember his first wife. And I knew her well. He's fortunate in that he could forget her. And hey, truth's truth. And so he doesn't remember one of his children. And they'll come down and see him. He don't remember his one, but he'll remember me. We grew up together, and if it could be done, we did it. I mean, we were just like you. We were into everything. But we love one another. And I'll go over there right now. I don't know. His wife doesn't have to say, "Honey, it's Beaver." He knows who it is. And we'll sit there and he'll tell me, I can't even talk. I said, "Don't worry about it. If you talked, I'd forget it in 10 minutes anyway. What do we care? All we got to do is be here." And he said, "Well, I can't do nothing." I said, "You're a year older than me. You're 79, right?" "Yeah," I said, "we've done everything you need to do. We don't have to do nothing else. We have earned the right not to do anything. So let's get at it." Watch a little TV there. And so we just go ahead and enjoy the situation we're in. He can't think like he used to, but it's still him. And I still love him. Not what he thinks, and not what he wants to do, and not who he remembers or doesn't remember. And he loves for me to come over there. I just love him to death. And I'll go 1 week and miss a week and go back. He'll say, "Now I hadn't seen you in years. Where you been?" But see, when you really like somebody and they're gone a little while, isn't it a long time? Isn't it a long time? You fellas that went to the Cove, you won't know how we missed you. You weren't gone long, but boy, we missed you. Hearing you talk and laughing and being friendly and having fellowship back at the back. We call it coughing corner. They get back and cough right there, drinking coffee and having a good time. And there they are. And I love to see that every Sunday. What a wonderful thing to see people that love each other. Isn't that good? And now you can't tell people you love them because then you gay.
Gay is not a homosexual word. Gay is a biblical word. All the songs used to say, since I've been saved, I'm happy and gay. You sing that now and they don't know what to do with you. Right? And along with the where did women come from, please let me reiterate Genesis. Jack's been teaching Genesis, and it says he created them male and female. They're two genders. Homosexuality is not a gender. It's a disgender. It's a disjointed gender. It's a sin, okay? But boy, as soon as that fellow running for president made his announcement at Liberty University, oh me, this country can't put up with that. Why, that man's Christian. We can't put up with that, can we? And one of the great theologians I saw by mistake, flicking my flicker going through the TV, one of the greater theologians of our day, Whoopi Goldberg. was saying he doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't believe in global warming. He doesn't believe in gay rights. He doesn't believe in men marrying men. He doesn't believe, he just doesn't believe in everything. I said, you didn't listen careful, darling. He believes that everything is right. You don't like him because he won't believe in everything that's wrong, and that's what you believe in. And that's where the liberal press has us till Jesus comes. So we are weary about unclean spirits. Please understand the problem that we're in this country. And as you saw, Panama Beach and all that, and that's not the only place all that takes place. The war in the Middle East, the wars, they're all fighting each other, trying to get together so they can fight us. And all that craziness, somebody asked me, said, what is happening? I said, what is happening is a tremendous increase in demonic activity guided by Satan. That's what's happening. It is completely pathological for a normal thinking human being to cut the head off a baby. You're crazy if that's even in your mind. And if you can cut a little girl in half with a sword in the name of your religion, then your religion came from hell. How's that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is what's going on. And it's a demonic attack on that part of the world and this one. That's why this country's in so much trouble, is they've turned their back on God. They've turned their back on the Bible. Many, many people in pulpits this morning will not preach from this book. Won't you have no use for it? Don't believe. Well, I think it's a bunch of myths. Nobody cares what you think. The truth is here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. You don't need to look for truth anywhere else but right there. If it disagrees with this, it's wrong. Why, you are narrow-minded, amen. As I read this morning, Jesus started with one himself. Then he got a football team together, got 11 more, plus Judas was 12. Right? Got them together. Can you see it now? See, we take things so serious, and we've been brought up to do that. Can you see them talking now? Here they are, and there's 12 of them. And they're down there at the end, up on the second floor, having whatever they had there. And all the guys are together, and Jesus says, Jesus, what are we going to do? And that's right. He informed them that we're going to take over the world. Excuse me. All 12 of us, we're going to take over the world. Sure we are. Sure we are. Do you know how late it was before all of them believed he was God? I mean, it was late when he convinced them all. James was his brother. James grew up with him. That's why when the Lord raised from the dead, the first person he went to was his brother James. I can see it now. James in the kitchen having a little iced tea. fixing him egg salad sandwich and getting ready for lunch, and he hears a most familiar voice saying, "James," and he's scared to turn around, but he knows who it is. He knows who it is. You have people you know when they speak just who it is, don't you? You just know exactly on the telephone. They don't have to say nothing. I was coming from my friend Paul Embler's up in Lenore down to Greenville, South Carolina, where I live, and I stopped in for one of those little country stores. You know, they got the gas tank out there and stuff inside, so you don't even have to lock the car or cut it off. I just left it on, radio on, and jumped out and went in to get a Pepsi and a pack of Nabs. That's a pack of cheese crackers for you fellas from the north. A pack of Nabs is cheese crackers with peanut butter. And I jumped in getting me a Pepsi and a pack of Nabs. I was 35 before you could buy. I thought you could buy them separate. I didn't know. I thought everywhere I'd ever been, anybody I was with said, "Give me a Pepsi and a pack of Nabs," like it was one word. So I did it too. Pepsi and a pack of Nabs, please. Game paid it. Went back out, looked in my car, jumped in. Cranked it up. I didn't have to crank it. It was running. Got out on the road, and the radio was going, and I heard a most familiar voice. It's my daddy preaching. I said, "Lord, have mercy." Bible verse right in your head. "Though he is dead, yet he speaketh." I said, "Amen. Go ahead, Norman. Go ahead, Daddy." I said, "Man, what an impact that is." And when Jesus tells these 12, "Son, you don't know who I am," and he finally gets to his brother after he's dead and risen and comes in James' house, said, "Hey, James, how you doing? How about fixing me some of that tea?" James, after his hair quit standing up, turns around and can't believe it. "Day since, I just saw you hanging on the cross. I just saw you beaten unmercifully. I just saw you buried. And a couple of days later, you show up in my kitchen. It is you, isn't it?" And the Lord said, "Fix me the tea. Quit talking." Yes, me. James turned out to believe it and became the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. Don't tell me he won't have an impact on your life. And so he said, this spirit, this anti-Christ spirit yells in the church, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Where did he learn that Jesus was supposed to destroy him? He's a demon from hell, isn't he? Demons are fallen angels. He learned that in heaven. He learned that before he fell with Satan, like a third of the other angels did. He knew Jesus was the one day who would destroy him. And now he sees him and he says, "Listen, have you come to destroy us?" He wasn't the only one to do that. You remember the demon possessed fellow that Jesus found in the graveyard? He came out of the tomb, and he saw him getting out of the boat. I mean, he's a good way off. And he's yelling from there. "It's Jesus, have you come to destroy us before our time?" Where did he learn that Jesus was the one to destroy him before his time? He learned that in heaven. Now he'd been thrown out, and he can't get back. Isn't that sad, even now that they know who he is? And it's really sad when you read on over and find out that one day all people, everybody who ever lived, the dead and the living, all will bow in front of him and call him Lord. Too late if you're lost, but you'll have to do it. Hitler's going to have to do it. Right, Obama is going to have to do it. Right, everybody who teaches this book is not the truth is going to have to confess that it is. And they're going to have to look at him when they do it.
What a sad thing to contemplate, that one day, whoever you are, you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him why you shouldn't go to hell. And he's going to say, you didn't have to. I forgave your sins. I died for your sins. All you had to do was stop by the cross and pick up your ticket. And you were too intelligent, Professor. And I got some bad news for you. Be elevator 2 over there. It only goes down. You really think that's going to happen? I know it's going to happen. I know thee who thou art. Thank you. I can see that sign. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, this isn't a visiting preacher. This isn't someone who's been a member of the church a long time. This is someone who has a devil who stands up in the synagogue and confesses, I know who you are. Isn't that something? Isn't it sad that our Jewish friends missed their day of appointment? Which is exactly what the Bible says. They missed their day of appointment. We always ask at this point, how about you? Did you miss your day of appointment? You heard preachers on the radio and on TV and tent meetings, and then you heard your uncle preach that y'all all thought would crazy, and then you heard somebody else preach, and then you heard Seitler preach, and then you heard Graham on TV, and then you ain't got any more sense than to come to a bar and hear me preach, and you are without excuse. How's that? Without excuse. Don't even try to think one up. When the Lord looks at you and say, why did you reject me? You're going to be Bugs Bunny at the white throne judgment, aren't you? Beep, 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 porky pig. Not going to have an answer. Digging your foot in the dirt. Please forgive me. Too late. I love that ad from the insurance company where the daddy lets the little boy drive the car and he gets a ticket and runs up. I'm here. The lady didn't even look at him. Said, too late. Wrote him the ticket. And you say, well, I thought God loved you. I heard a preacher preach the other day on some CDs I listened to. And I knew it, but never thought of it before. He said, God will still love you when you're in hell. How sad that he will still love you when you're in hell. But you can't get to him now. Too late now. You missed the bus. It's not coming back around. And Jesus rebuked him and said, hold thy peace and come out of him. He's talking to the demon, of course. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, that means put him in a convulsion. He's on the floor now. And cried with a loud voice, that is the spirit, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, I would think so. Insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee, even without cell phones. That isn't the first question that had been asked. What manner of man is this? You remember when he was in the boat? And the waves came up. That was the devil causing that, trying to kill him. And the wind was howling and like a tornado, like we have here every now and then, or whatever, a hurricane. And Jesus comes out and says, peace, be still. And the ocean looks like a lake. And the wind wouldn't have blown a balloon if somebody had been flying one. And they said, it's a title to a sermon I give every now and then called, they said,
what manner of man is this that even the waves and the wind obey him? Can you imagine that? Sometimes we read too fast and don't think about it. Can you imagine that? I often look for some of our TV evangelists when we have a hurricane coming into here. Every now and then they schedule one for us. And I hear on the TV that they can do whatever the apostles did, and they can do what Jesus did. And one of them has the gall to say he went to heaven. That's a lie. He hadn't been there, because God dwells in unapproachable light. That means if you and your body went there, you would disintegrate. So anytime you hear that from an uninformed preacher, just call him a liar and go back to the ball game. Okay. So he's saying, if we are going to say what manner of man is this, for you and I to think about it, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? Who is this guy? Can steal the song. I want to say, won't you call Benny Hinn next time we have a hurricane? We'll fix him a lifeguard stand out here. And he can stop the hurricane. We'll pay him a lot of money for that. They were having one, and that thing was scheduled to come right over here. I mean, they showed the coordinates away, and it was coming right here. And we knew it. And I was out here, came down here Sunday morning, and there were four or five of us, braved the weather, and came on down. And you came in and tricked them. And we were here. And a TV station out of Charlotte, WBTV, they came down. Because they got a sister station in Florence. And they came down with the cameras. And they were going to take pictures. And they found out that this was a church on Sunday. And they asked me, said, this is church on Sunday? I said, yeah. I said, well, who's the preacher? I said, me. And he said, well, are you praying that this storm doesn't come in? I said, no. And he looked amazed and said, why? I said, son, I can't outpray 1,000 roofers. There's 1,000 roofers in this area right now saying, Lord, send that thing in here. Please get that one in here. This is money in the bank. See, I said, I can't help praying. I said, I'm praying nobody gets hurt and nobody gets killed. But 1,000, they'll build the building back. They'll put the roof on. We don't have to worry about that. We just don't want anybody hurt. He didn't know what to say. And I laughed. Somebody came up for one of our events over here and said, I saw you on TV. I said, you did. That's before we had this. And he said, I said, yeah, I was in Atlanta. And I said, now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? And if you don't believe in miracles, then how did you get saved? Biggest miracle in your life is you and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miracle you sitting in right now. See, this place, before we got here, wasn't noted for its religious services. This was Panama Beach. This was it. Mm-hmm. College kids had come and just, they in there raising hell, we in here raising heaven. Right? And he said, you crazy. I said, did you notice y'all are gone? I'm still here. That occur to you? Mm-hmm. Well, you see, I said, I don't have to see, I know. See, your problem is you don't even know there's a God. You just kind of acknowledge one. Your God's a midget. You've got a little old bitty God that can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. we have the Almighty who spoke everything you see into existence. And every time at night, I love to see the night down here. It's dark and see those stars up there. It's so beautiful. And then I see them on television and through the Hubble telescope. Billions of stars, see, billions. You know all the Bible says about that creative act. I mean, what a wonderful thing. It says, and he made the stars also. It refers to the whole universe as his handiwork. It's just, well, that's just something he didn't have to do. He was busy one day and took a rest, so he did that. See, I mean, you know, you can look at that and not believe in the Almighty. You can look at that ocean and wonder why it stops out there. Do you know there's no reason for it to stop? Anytime he wants to lower the gate, it's going to come on in. He did it once. Don't think he can't do it again. That's why when we have the nuclear war in America, it's no more. It will not come back. It will not resurrect. We're in the last days of the last days. And even the scientists last week moved the doomsday clock, they call it, to 2 minutes to 12. A few years back, they moved it to 5 minutes, then four, then three. Now it's at two. And so watch your TV real careful. I love John Hagee. John Hagee's a good preacher. And John will say, get prayed up and packed up. We're going up real soon. And everybody laughs at him, just like they laughed at my daddy when he introduced the rapture of the church to the South. See, I said, no. He's coming, and he's coming soon. Whether he comes or not is not even the question that's been told. We know that. The question is he coming for you? And only you can answer that. And if you don't know, you need to make sure today. As we sing and pray, you need to bow your head. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. No use to get out the list. We both know it. I just want to be forgiven. I want you to forgive me. I want to be washed in the blood, as the Bible says. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt when I take my last breath, my next one will be in front of you. I want to know that. I want to know when it's time for me to leave this earth, it's time for me to come to your place. I just want to know for sure. I believe you're the living Savior. I believe you died on that cross for me. I believe had I been the only sinner who ever lived, of the millions and billions of people who have lived, that had I been the only one without a Savior, you'd have still come and died for me. Because he would have. That's called love. So get it settled in your heart today between you and him. And we'll be able to sing that song when we all get to heaven. In most churches, I tell them, let's change that to when the bigger part of us get to heaven. Because I know sitting in that audience that somebody ain't going. The old black, they call it Negro spiritual. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Was a very prophetic little song. See? But we can stop that. If you don't have a ticket, get one today. Thank you for coming. Come back and be with us. You say, well, can I join your church? We don't have one. I'd love for you to join the church. Joining the church is accepting Christ as your Savior. That makes you a member of the church, for the church is his body, and you become part of him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we're liable to get somebody rolling in the floor if we keep preaching, so we better go home. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word.
Thank you that you've told us all the truth we need to know. Thank you that if we don't understand it, if you told us some of the mysteries of the scriptures, we still couldn't understand it. We don't have to understand it. We just believe it. Thank you so much for dying, and we celebrate this time of year in particular. When the atonement was made, when the peace was made between man and God, when we were reconciled to you, if we would but believe that you died on the cross and willingly shed your blood, that we could be saved. What a wonderful thing to know. How wonderful is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for dying for us. Let us live for you. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner.
Sinner.